36. What we have in these books are the history of Israel as a kingdom. They begin in 1 and 2 Samuel, where the first kings of Israel come about. And it goes through Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles. And this is the last king, Zedekiah of Judah. Israel has already been carried off into captivity a long time ago. And this last king is a wicked king. And begin reading at chapter 36, verse 11. This is the history of the end of the kingdom in Israel. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all of the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, and slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word we have in our hands, and we know it was put there for our learning. I pray, dear God, that you will touch every heart in this room and every heart that listens to this message. I pray, Lord, that we would come to understand you better. I pray, Lord, we'd come to obey you better. I pray you'd bless your people. If there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray you'd convict that soul of sin and bring it to Christ for salvation. Amen. I pray for every child of God that hears me. I pray, Lord, you would revive us. You'd draw us close to yourself, and that we would acknowledge you and praise you and serve you better. Give me a freedom and ease that only you can give. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a very sad chapter. You ever read the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah is a sad book to read, too, as far as the prophets go. Isaiah was sort of the king's prophet, and he was honored in that era. He was recognized, and he had access to the king, and he was like the king's preacher, and he He didn't suffer a whole lot. But Jeremiah, he was the king's preacher too, but the kings didn't like him. They didn't like him at all. And they didn't honor him. Times they dropped him down in a well. Sometimes they just fed him with bread and water. And they mocked his words. Made fun of him. Tried to abuse him in a lot of ways. And Jeremiah is the prophet that Zedekiah, the last king, there's just several just in a row. One of them lasted 2 or 3 months. Comes down to. And it says an interesting thought is verse 14, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. Now, man, when the king and the princes and the leaders and the priests are wicked, what hope is there for any nation? When the spiritual leaders are so corrupt that they don't follow the Word of God, how do you expect the people to follow the Word of God? It's hard enough in this world when preachers stand for the truth and the people don't like it and pick on them and abuse them and whatever, and they do. They run them off lots of times. But when they bring the abominations of the world, the abominations of the heathen, and they bring it into the house of the Lord, that's bad. When I was young and first started preaching, that's a long time ago, 50-something years, there was a difference between the church in the community and the people outside the church in the community. It was a recognizable difference. Do you know that's not so today? It's not so today. The modern Christian church, Protestant church, is just like the modern world society all around it. There's no difference in the divorce rate. No difference in unwed mothers. No difference in a lot of other things. In fact, some of the preachers of this day, they're approving of what we call perversion. They're not only allowing in the church, they're allowing in the pulpits. And they've brought the pollution of the world into the house of the Lord. And by that, I don't mean this building. This is just wood and sticks and paint. Mortar. We're the church. We're the church. He said God loved them and had compassion on them and He brought them prophets. Jeremiah being the main one, but there are other prophets that lived in Jeremiah's day, and if you want to study some of those prophets, you can find them. And they stood up to these kings, and they stood up to these priests. For God, they brought His Word. I was a daddy. Still a daddy. But I was a daddy when I had my kids at home. And my word meant something. And my kids obeyed my word. Now they disobeyed me and they suffered for it when I caught them. But at least I never did have a kid stand up to me and say, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. You're just an old man. Never did happen. They didn't disrespect my word. They might not have liked it. They might have went out and disobeyed it, but they didn't stand up in my face and mock me. I knew of a man who was a situation. His boy was about 18, still living at home. His mother told him to do something when he got home, and he cussed her out. And the man came home and the wife told him, this is what your boy told me this. He walked into the bedroom and said, "Son, I understand you're a man now." Again, he just beat the snot out of him with his fist. He said, "No man talks to my wife that way." Amen. You know, there ought to be a little respect. And if you don't have any respect, there are going to be some consequences. What an interesting verse here. Verse 16. Man, this has touched me many times over the years. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets till the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy." You are reading the last of the kingdom of Israel. Judah is going into captivity right now. This king, this wicked king here, 21-year-old, thinks he's something. He's going to be the last of a line for a while. You know why? They've brought their pollution into the house of God. They despised His words. They mocked His prophets. It's one thing for you to mock me. That's all right. I can handle it. I've been mocked. You know what you better do? You better not mock the Word of God. You see, when you're mocking the prophet of God, if he's giving you the Word of God in truth, he's God's man. He's got God's Word. And you need to pay attention to what God says or God will take notice. I'm sure there are a lot of things that go on down here. I don't think God misses anything, to tell you the truth. I don't think He misses anything. I think He notes it all. It's all recorded. And you're going to face it one of these days. But they mocked the messengers of God. Some of you go out and preach on the streets downtown out here and they mock you. Some of you go into the house and tell somebody as a friend or a loved one or just somebody else that what they're doing is sin. God doesn't like it. It's against the Word of God. And they mock you. But what they're really mocking is not you. They're mocking God's Word. Do you realize how dangerous that is? I'm just a regular daddy and I wouldn't put up with that in my house. Do you think God thinks His Word is powerful? Should be respected? I think He thinks it more so than I think. My word is. Daddy's not always right, but Daddy's always Daddy. That was my philosophy in my house. Oh, I was wrong several times. I had to go and apologize several times in my life. I shed many a tear. It's hard being a daddy and raising kids. You've got to make a lot of decisions. And sometimes you make the wrong ones. God never has made a wrong one. If you got the Word of God on something, you have the truth. You have the truth. And if you think you can just go ahead and not listen to it and do everything your own way, you're mistaken. Look what happened here. They came in and killed all they could kill. Those that escaped from being killed went off to be slaves and servants. They went into the house of God and they took all the treasuries, every bit of the good gold and silver and bronze and everything they had in their beautiful artwork, and they hauled it off. They went into all the king's palaces and all the princes, and they took everything that was worth taking and they hauled it off. And they knocked the building down, the temple, and they burned it. And they knocked the wall down of the city, and they burned it. Do you know that wasn't because Nebuchadnezzar was so great and the people in Israel were so poor? That was because the people forgot to live by the Word of God and they despised the sanctuary of God. They despised the Word of God, until God said, no remedy. You know what I love about the gospel? It's a great remedy. It's a great remedy. You've sinned. You walk wild and stupid and ignorant. But there's the mercy. There's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He paid the debt on the cross of Calvary. And you can repent of your sin and call upon the Lord. And you, as a child of God, you play yourself stupid sometime, you can call on the Lord. There's a remedy. There's a remedy. An awful statement. It says, till there was no remedy. You don't want to get in that place. That's what happened here. They disobeyed God. They made fun of God. They mocked God's messengers. They mocked God's Word. As if God didn't exist. Till it says, this is of the Lord. There was no remedy. He sent them preacher after preacher. He sent them prophet after prophet. They brought the Word of God and they brought it faithfully. But the people didn't want to listen. These are God's people I'm talking about here. This is God's nation, God's house, God's people. Just because you're God's people doesn't mean you can walk away with anything. When I first began to believe, once saved, always saved, it's a little easy way of saying that once you're saved, once you've been forgiven, once you've been born again, you can't ever be unborn. You're forever God's son. That doesn't mean you don't have any judgment coming. That doesn't mean you can get away with anything you want to get away with. They mocked the messengers of God and despised His words. I don't know how many times in my life, I've been a preacher over 50 years, and I've spoken to people, many people, not only publicly, but in house after house. And how many people I've heard mock these words. And I sit back in just almost awe, wondering when lightning is going to strike. Don't really want to be here when it happens. Don't tell me that when you have the Word of God in your hands and you hear what God has to say, that it means nothing. To God it means something. It ought to mean something to you. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, misused His prophets until His wrath rose against His people, till there was no remedy. Well, that was the end for them. Hey, here's a point in history. Bang! You can put a little marker right there after chapter 36 of Chronicles. They just hauled off the last king there. There's no temple, there's no walled city, and there's no king. And anybody left there, just a poor rabble. The palaces are gone. The big highways are gone. The beautiful gates are gone. It's burned and trashed, and who's going to have the money to fix it? It's going to lie rest for 70 years. Look at another verse. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. I just want to emphasize on this verse right here. You know why most men scoff at God? Their own lust. You know why the people don't want to believe in a God? They don't want a judgment. This Bible says there's a judgment. Talks about judgment in this life. Talks about judgment after this life. Talks about two different places you can go to, heaven or hell. And hell is not this earth. If you're a born-again child of God here today, the closest you're ever going to see hell is this life. But if you're not saved here today, the closest you're ever going to see heaven is this life. You need to think about that. There shall come in the last day scoffers. I think we got plenty of them around. Some of them use science to do their scoffing. Some use different kinds of religion to do their scoffing. There are preachers this day, supposedly gospel preachers this day, preaching this morning across America, and they're abusing the Word of God. They've changed it. What God said before, well, we're more modern than that today. We don't have to live by that, but this is the 21st century. Don't you know where you live? What used to be in any psychology textbook a perversion is now called a different lifestyle. And boy, there's a big strong push with an awful lot of money behind it to get it out to where it's even a hate crime to call it sin. But it's sin. And I don't care what our society judges it. God's going to judge it sin. And I don't care how much our society approves of it and thinks they can get away with it. Just wait till God brings His notice on it like He did to His own people. He'll bring it to us too. You know the problem with that? If He judges America, He judges all of us too. We're going to go through the same thing. There were some godly people in that crowd. There were some faithful people in that crowd. Jeremiah had to suffer along with that. And he's the one preaching against it the whole time. Some of the other prophets the same way. In the last days there shall come scoffers. They scoff and they mock and they ridicule and they deride the people who stand for the Word of God. Don't be afraid of that. You stand up and tell the truth. Don't be afraid of that. This new lifestyle is a wicked lifestyle. This new generation, I feel sorry for some of you. I'm almost gone. Just a few more years, that's all. Maybe not that. But this thing's turning corrupt. And God has proven over and over again in history past He will judge corruption. What kind of doctor do you want? If I've got gangrene in my leg, cut the thing off. Don't sit and put a little poultice on the side of it and give me a Band-Aid over here and let the corruption keep running through my whole body till I lose both legs, both arms, and all my life. No, cut it out. And by the way, don't be tender with it. Take it all. If you have to take a little more leg so that I don't have more corruption, that's all right. Take a little more leg. God's going to do some judging. He has proved through history He will judge. Can He judge by a hurricane? You bet He can. Can He judge by a tornado? I guess He can. Can He judge by a car wreck? Yes, He can. Can He judge by cancer or heart disease or diabetes or some other something? Yes, He can. The reason why they don't like an Almighty God who is a Creator is because He's a judge. And He's going to judge, and we are all going to stand before the judgment. One place or another. There's another verse over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, "Take heed, brethren." Now I want you to notice that. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." What happens? What happens when all of a sudden a Christian gets blown out of the saddle? What happens when some big leader, maybe some preacher or somebody who had a testimony for something, gets knocked out? Something happened in the heart. It said, watch yourself, Christian. Watch yourself, brother, lest an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. What do you think dropped Samson? What do you think dropped David? What do you think brought down Solomon? In my mind, I think about these sins and looking at them from the outside, it looks so stupid. Foolish. All the pain that come into their lives and came into their children's lives and into the kingdom's lives. And I think of a man that was spoken to by God, Solomon. Given great wisdom. And yet he brought the idols of the heathen into the house of God. Said his wives caused him to sin. Can you imagine? Could I get to that place? I'm 72. He lived to be 70. An old man? You know, how in the world? Somehow, down inside the heart, we begin to doubt God's Word. We begin to think, it won't happen to me. We begin to think, that's for other people. That's not for me. Oh, but let me tell you something. It's for you too. It's for you too. Watch yourself that you don't have an unbelieving heart. Oh, you've seen it. You've looked at one thing and another. You've looked at a choice you had to make, a stand you needed to make and didn't make or ought to make and wouldn't make. An evil heart of unbelief. And what is that evil heart causing you to do? Depart from the living God. Living God. He's the only living God. All other gods are dead. He's not a statue. He's not some little gold piece somebody that's talented and fashioned. He's the living God. We talk about mothers and I love my mother. I love my wife who's been a good mother. But not all mothers are to be honored. Godly mothers are to be honored. Just the natural thing of childbirth, my friend, even though all of us love our mothers, that's life. Do you know that's how seeds are planted in the ground? That's how gardens grow. That's how little birds and squirrels, I had a squirrel on my front porch this morning. They're smart little creatures. He had a mother. That's the way it come about. That's the giver of life. And the only one that can give life is God. He set it in motion and we've got this wonderful thing, all of this life going. You know, the more I learn about science, and I don't know much, but the more I learn about science, the more I hear, the more fascinated I am with God. They're advertising that in your toilet bowl, 3 billion things are there every square inch or so. Germs. Woo! And that's in your toilet bowl, not the one down at the station. And you know, those things are living, moving creatures. You realize how many of them you have in your mouth right now? Give that thought a little while. You realize they're all through your body. These living creatures are living to make you live. That's their purpose to do that. I'm amazed at God. He's smarter than anybody I ever met, and I've talked to some pretty smart people. I've had a lot of PhDs and THDs teach me for months on end, and man, I'm telling you, I've never seen any one of them look anything like God to me. life out there. Keep producing life. And you think about all of these fish that are produced for other fish to eat. And then bigger fish comes along and eats that fish. And then a bigger fish comes along and eats that fish. I saw a picture here a while back. It was in Florida, I think. An 18-foot alligator just reached up and grabbed a deer. And he was going off out on the swamp with that deer. 18-foot alligator. He could eat you. And you know what? That's what about this whole thing. God has created this wonderful universe, this life, enough to fascinate you all your living days. And God is a living God. Don't make fun of Him. Be real careful about your own heart. That's your problem. You don't want to let your heart get cold. You don't want to get to the place that you're not really believing the Word, not loving the Word, not liking the Word, not liking the people of God. You don't like the people of God. You don't enjoy being with the people of God. There's something wrong with your heart. But there's another verse. It's in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 on this same topic. I think it's just a tremendous statement of life. It is the Word of God. Yes, it is the Word of God, but it's a statement on how life is lived. It says, be not deceived. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. We need to tell you that about people calling you on the phone to help you get a new loan on your house, or calling you on the phone to do something else for you, or somebody calling you on the phone so you can win some great lottery from out of Dubai or somewhere. Because people get deceived. They're doing it all the time. Millions and millions of dollars. I think of all this money that's gone into the banks and how much of it has already been siphoned off by the crooks. He says, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. And young people, listen to me. Pay attention to this verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Or you can mock Him, but you won't get away with it. Oh yeah, you can shake your fist in the face of God. You can tell Him all sorts of things and say what you're going to do about it when you get there. When you stand before Him, you won't open your mouth. You'll fall down before Him dead. You've never seen anything like God. When you see God, you're going to know you made a very big mistake by mocking Him. Be not deceived, it says. Don't fool yourself. Don't walk through life stupid. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Do you really think that God is just like a man? You and I are about equal. One might run a little faster. One might be a little bit stronger. One might live a little older. One might whatever. But we're all pretty much the same. But God's not like us. He's been living forever. Your little 70-odd years are as nothing. It's like a second or a minute in His sight. He spoke the whole world into existence. The reason why it hangs around the way it does is God. His Word keeps it just the way it is. And the minute He decides to change it, my book says it's all going to pass away. And the elements are going to melt with a great heat and a great noise. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You may make fun of your mom or your daddy. You may make fun of the police. You may make fun of the president. You may make fun of the nation. You can go make fun of all your teachers. You better watch out. God is not mocked. Now notice what it says to prove that. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what some people think? They think they can sow sin and reap happiness. But God says different. Reckon you ought to listen to God? My advice is, listen to God. You can't sow to your lust, sow to your flesh, sow to your sin, and reap a beautiful life. All you got to do is walk out a little bit, visit some of these, go down to the rescue mission with some of these preachers. Take a look at some of those guys. Some of those guys were businessmen. Some of those men were athletes when they were in school. And boy, they had everything going for them. Some of them were married and had families. Go down to one of these drug rehab places. Take a look at the people there. Look at some of those little girls. Used to be somebody's little girl. They're broken. And they're hurting. And they're miserable. And they don't know what to do. And they're almost too far gone to help. You ever tried to help any of them? You ever brought any of them into your house? I have. Some people it's pretty hard to help. Not much you can do. You see, you sow this seed, you reap the result. You say, I can take my liquor. I can quit anytime I want to. I don't know how many drunks have told me that. I can take my liquor. I can take it or not take it. I don't have to have it. I can quit anytime I want to. Why don't you quit? I don't want to. Oh, they're smart alecks. But you know what the truth is? They've ruined their family. They've ruined their kids. They've ruined their health. They've ruined their job. They've lost all this stuff. And they're too proud to admit it. God's not mocked. He sets something in motion in this world, and you can see it in agriculture very easy, in all nature. You plant a seed, and it grows. And from a little seed grows hundreds, maybe thousands. It's an amazing thing. Put all these animals out here, and they just multiply, multiply, and multiply. They were talking in this thing about the seas. All these fish were born, millions. And most of them were eaten by other fish. And then some grow up, and they produce millions. And most of them are eaten by other fish. But the growth, it just keeps on going. It just keeps on multiplying. That's why you and I, you know, I eat fish. Some of those fish went into me. Now, I let the cows eat the greens, and I eat the cows. That's the way I like it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You better watch what you sow. Let me tell you something else. When a young lady has a baby, that's not a punishment. That is a natural law of science. Did you ever notice that in this modern generation that we have, we are so free, we've got sexual freedom? You ever notice when they tell you about this birth control that it's 99% or 98% or 96%? Sure. You know what that means? 1 out of 100 is going to have a baby, or 2 out of 100 is going to have a baby, or something like that. So if you have sex 100 times, well, you're pretty sure you're going to get one. It is a wonderful miracle. It's a wonderful thing. Now, when they're little like that, even my own, I don't mess with them. When that head just sort of... I don't like that. I got to grab that head and have it in my hand because I don't want that head moving around and shaking, you know. Now, when they get up where I can trip them and roll them across the floor, then that's when I start having fun with them. My wife can take care of them all the way to then. But that is the natural result of intercourse. That is the natural. God made it that way. Let me tell you what. You have intercourse, you're going to have children in most cases. That's the natural result. Keep a male and female dog in the yard, you're going to have puppies. You don't have to pray about it. I'm not sure prayer is going to do any good. I don't know if it's going to make any difference. It's the natural order. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that's the birth of children, human children. And I love babies. They're great. I especially love little boys and little girls until they start going to school. Now I want to throw them away. He's making a statement here. And you better apply it to your life. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself this morning, young lady, young man. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's the law of God. It works out in your garden. It works out in the business area of life. It works in your home. And it works with sex. I'm going to tell you what. It works not only physically, it works spiritually. You sow to sin in your mental life, you're going to reap the result of that. You may reap it in your own life. You may reap it in your children. You may reap it in your grandchildren. You may reap it in, I don't know what. If you plant good seed and try to build a good marriage, you're going to reap that. If you get stubborn and stupid, you're going to reap that too. That's a bad combination. Stubborn and stupid, it's deadly. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care what the church is doing. It doesn't change a thing. God's Word is still God's Word. And God's Word is going to come to pass no matter what you think about it. Now you may think you're smarter than me. And you just may be. But I got one on you. I've been reading this book 50-something years. And I keep getting corrected by this book. Do you ever get corrected by this book? I keep getting corrected. It's amazing the things I forget. I've read them 1,000 times and I say, oh, boy, that looks new. No, it's not new. It just hit me then anew. I saw it many, many times. It hit me new 30 years ago and now that it's hitting me new again. God is not mocked. You won't mock him and get away with it. You will not. Now, I know some of you do not like what I'm preaching today, and you're upset, and you're sitting down there boiling in here, you know. No. I can get away with you. You're not talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm going to say something here you may not like either. I think this is the dumbest generation of women that has ever lived. Excuse me. The dumbest generation of women ever lived. Because you believe the sexual revolution. You think that birth control is going to take care of you. Let me tell you what. Women suffer most from this sexual revolution. Women suffer most. And having babies shouldn't be a suffering. But you try having a baby by yourself. Just try it. Don't you be foolish. Don't you think that God's Word isn't going to work in your case too? It's going to work. It's going to work. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Go by God's Word. I'm going to close with another verse. A little more on the positive side. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Really the last four words of verse 18 and the first part of 19. Timothy chapter 1, 18 and 19. That thou mightest war a good warfare. What Paul's talking to Timothy about. Timothy, I want you to be able to wage a good war. I want you in this spiritual battle you're in and what you're trying to work and do, I want you to be able to do it. He gives you two things. Faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. You need to know what to believe. You need to get your beliefs from the Word. You need to know they're God's Word. You need to know they're worth keeping. You need to know where you need to stand. And then you need to keep good conscience. You know what? You need to keep real short accounts with God. Your conscience starts bothering you on something, you know you're convicted about something, get out on your knees. Confess it. You got a bad attitude about something in God's Word or something the preachers are saying or something like that? Get out on your knees and ask God to forgive you and get you a right heart. Don't let that evil heart of unbelief take you away and damage your life and the life of your family and the life of your church. And I understand we live in a terrible time. There's so much opportunity and it's so accepted in our society, even in churches. You can do anything you want to do and be accepted in a majority of churches in this town. That's a shame. God help us. We need a testimony. You need a testimony. And I don't know where you are today. Only you know where you are today. But you need to stand by faith. Faith in what God says.
Amen.
And you need a good conscience. You need a good conscience. You know how you get a good conscience? It's not by not sinning, because none of us do that. It's confess your sin. He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here and you're not saved, then you need to get saved. That's the most important thing. But my Christian friend, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to this church. This church right here. I'm not worried about all the churches in San Antonio, all the churches around the world. I'm worried about this church right here, 602 Oakville. We need a revival. We need our hearts broke. We need to get right with God. We need to believe from the heart. We need to have a faith that we know what's true and right and where we can stand. And then we need to keep a clear conscience so God can use us. We're going to stand and sing number 249.